If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. They're Psalms. There's a difference between a chapter and a Psalm. There's a reason they're called Psalm. And that means that many of these were sung as songs. Many of the Psalms were sung as songs. So Psalms are not chapters. They're a psalm. Anyway, I want to today, I don't know how this message is going to be today. I'm expecting this message today may be out of the box. Maybe something that we're not comfortable with. Maybe something that we usually don't see here at this church. I don't know what we're going to have here today, but I want you to turn to Psalm 38, and I want to read three psalms here this morning. I'm going to read 38, 39, and the first five verses of Psalm 40. And God has been working on me for at least a month about Psalm 40 and having a message out of Psalm 40. And I couldn't put it together. And then this week, I was just praying and saying, God, just put this message together for me. And as God has done many times, I sat down in my chair, and it seemed like the Spirit just, and I started writing, and I couldn't quit. I mean, I had a whole page, and my message was all laid out in a matter of about 10 minutes. And so I just bless the Lord for the message here today. Again, follow along as I read out of Psalm 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me, for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from me, from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquities. I will be sorry for my sin. But my enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that is that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burnt. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth, and my and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they were more than can be numbered. Thank you for following along as I read. As I share this message here today, I just want to share with you some of my groanings. I want to share with you today some of my crying. And I want to share with you today what God wants to do and how God wants to show us who he is. I want any change that God lays in your heart today. I want that change to come because of God and not because of what I am saying. I don't want you to change because of anything that I am saying, but I want you to change because God is at work in your heart and wants to bring change. And we notice here in Psalm 38 and in Psalm 39, David was in a deep struggle. And when David was in a deep struggle, he showed humanity at its very core. Because when each one of us are in a deep struggle, guess what it is that we notice? Did you notice all the things that David said that he noticed about himself? He said in verse 3 that there is no soundness in my flesh. He said in verse 3, there is no rest in my bones. He said in verse 4, my iniquities are over my head. He said in verse 5 that my wounds stink. Verse 6, he says, I am troubled. He said, I am bowed down. He said, I mourn all the day. These things were just overwhelmingly powerful to where they actually incapacitated David. Where he was bowed down, he was so overtaken with what was happening that he was stooped over. He was walking around like his head down that he saw the earth. He was not looking up where he saw anything else. He said, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease in verse 7. Verse 8, he says, I am feeble and sore broken. Verse 10, he says, the light of mine eyes is gone out. And I want to tell you something. The light in a person's eyes is a revelation many times of what's going on the inside. Have you ever noticed people that the light is going out? You could just look in their eyes and say, what's wrong? The light in the eyes. The sparkle is gone. The clarity, the clearness is gone. The light went out. That's what David said happened to me. He said, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from me. All the people that were close to me, they're gone. At least in a distance, they're not close anymore. And then he made this statement. He said, I'm ready to halt. And all of us have been there where we have said, I'm ready to halt. I am ready to halt. I am ready to just simply stop. And you know, when David said, I'm ready to halt, it tells you what has been in his mind about his struggles. Because I've been teaching you here that we have a mind and we have a subconscious mind. And this subconscious mind became so powerful in David's life that this subconscious mind said, there is no use to go on. You've been through this many times before. God is not listening. That subconscious mind just kept telling David, David, it's worth it to stop. It's worth it to halt. And there are many people that I've observed get to the place where the struggle becomes so intense that people say, yes, it is worth it for me to halt. I have observed how people have walked. You know people that have simply walked out of a church service. I can tell you of people that have literally walked out of a church service because they said, it is not worth it. I'm going to stop. I've observed Christianity. Christianity has nothing to offer because the struggle becomes so intense that that's what we see. Why didn't David talk in these Psalms about two things? Why didn't David say, I don't care what happens to mine enemies. I have 600 men that are surrounding me, and David is right here in the middle. David had 600 men that stood with him all the time. Why didn't David, if you go back into 1 Samuel 16, that's where David was anointed. And you know what the scriptures say about David? It says that when Samuel came and took that horn of oil and poured that oil on David's head, as this young lad, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Why didn't David focus on that? The reason David didn't focus on that is because the struggle he was in was visible. He saw it with his eyes. He knew of the people that were digging a pit to try to destroy him. I just want to ask you today, why do you cry to God? Why do you cry to God? Why do you cry to God? People cry to God because they sense a very deep personal need. And they're in a hole that they can't get out. That's why people cry to God. You know why people cry to God? Is because they feel abandoned by God. People cry to God because they feel abandoned by God. They feel that God took a walk and left them in the back 40, and he's nowhere around. People become desperate. And I know that there are people here today that are crying out to God. I know there are people here today that are desperate to know God. I know that there are people here today that have been searching for God and we can't find Him the way we'd like. If you remember, and I've told you this a number of times, this is our year that Elsie and I are married 50 years. And I looked at Elsie and I said, how can we take our marriage to the next level? And you know, that's the question that all of us have to ask here today. Young folks, all of us have to look at our lives and say, how can I take my relationship with God to the next level? Adults that are here today, all of us as adults have to stop and ask that question. God, how do I take my relationship with you to the next level? And I want to tell you that the answer of going to the next level is here in the scripture that I read to you today. I want us to think about just taking our relationship with God to the next level. If you haven't started a relationship with God, then I beg of you to start a relationship with God. Because if you don't ever start a relationship with God, you will be lost. And I have a difficult time with that. I struggle with that because I want every one of us here to have the assurance in our hearts that we are okay with God. That we're okay with God. That things are right between God and myself. David starts out in the 40th Psalm where he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I just want you to look at the picture that David drew there. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. In the middle of these deep struggles, people, in the middle of these deep struggles that we have, God wants us to simply stop and wait on Him. God wants us to simply stop and just simply wait. We become demanding with God. We become demanding with God. I want to encourage us that when we come before God, I'm going to talk about, and he mentions right here, how that is possible. He mentions here how that is possible. The word inclined, you know what that means? Just picture God. So here you are crying out to God. David was crying out to God. And David was, as he was crying, all of a sudden God, like, did you ever do that? When you wanted to hear better, you turned your head so your ear was toward a certain sound. And it says here that I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. In other words, all of a sudden, God kind of turns his head and say, what's Doug saying? What's Doug's cry? What's Doug's cry? He's listening. Finally, he goes like this. I want to make sure I hear. And you take your hand and you pull your ear out. It's amazing how much more you can hear when you cup your hand like this. You've ever tried it in the woods? When you hear a deer way off, you can go like this, and all of a sudden that deer sound is much closer because you're catching a lot more of the sound waves. That's God. That's God inclining his ear towards your cry. It is not hopeless. That's God. He is inclining his ear. And it says, and he heard me. I want to tell you today that crying unto God in sincerity, God will hear you. God will hear you. God, when you say, God, I must understand you in a new level. I cry and cry and cry unto God, and I say, I must understand you in a new level. God will hear that cry. And listen to what it says. In verse 2 it says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You know what that horrible pit is? The horrible pit. The horrible pit is a pit of noise. When you look that up, I thought it was pretty interesting. All of us have been walked into a building where people were talking, and all over, and it was loud in there, and you heard a lot of sounds, you heard words, but you couldn't put them together. And when there is a noisy environment, noise is the seedbed of confusion. And confusion is exactly where the enemy wants you to be in. He wants you to not know what you're crying for. He wants you to be so upset at your environment that you will give up. But God says, in this whole noisy situation, that this whole pit of noise that you're in, and you can't hear God because of all this noise, God says, I will bring you out of that. God says, I will bring you out of that. And it says that he, and out of the miry clay. Now, miry clay, I don't know if you know what miry clay is, but miry clay is very sticky soil. If you would take boots, and most people that work on clay soil wear boots, because the next thing they know, big clumps of this sticky soil that's on their boots, and they have to keep scraping it off and kicking it off. I've been there. I've walked through some really sticky soil. And that's picturesque here of David's life in a pit. And he's down in that pit where there is noise all over. And the soil he's standing on, the base that he has, is so sticky that it impedes his walking. And see, that's exactly what happens when we focus on the struggles we're in. When the struggles we're in become so predominant that they control us. When the struggles we're in become so predominant that those struggles hinder our walking. We can hardly go on. We're always trying to kick it out of the way, and we're always trying to get rid of it. It's part of that life. It's part of that life. And then it says, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now, walking on a rock is totally different than walking in miry clay. And if you notice that he says up, out. So he lifts you out of where you are and sets your feet upon a rock. Now, we have walked on some big rocks. When we were going to Arkansas to teach Bible school there, we went to a place where there was a huge rock shelf. It was called the Bluffs. I mean, you could walk hundreds of feet on solid rock, just as flat, very flat. And you could go up there. There was no mud. There was nothing there that impeded in any way your walking. You're walking. And that's what God does. God wants, in the middle of your struggles, in the middle of your trials, in the middle of this deep anguish that we have, God wants to bring us up out of there and put us on a rock where there is no mire, where there is no clay to drag us down. That's what God wants to do. Now, and establish my goings. I just want to talk about this rock. We all know who the rock is. The rock is Jesus Christ. And when we're delivered from the bondage of the enemy, when we are delivered from the bondage of the enemy, that deliverance can only take place if we are as set upon the rock of Jesus Christ. That can only, that's the only way it can be possible. We can't do anything else. Establish my goings, that has to do with the Lord brought him out of this pit and gave him the direction that he needs to go. He set the boundaries of what, of his life, what he can and cannot do. We are led by the one who knows the future, and we have the promises of being preserved for eternity. And those are all thoughts that are, that I read right out of these verses. I just want to ask you today a very personal question. I've probably never done this before in this church. Is there anyone here today that would like to tell us what you've been crying for? I don't want you. I intentionally didn't tell you that you should prepare for this. But you know what? When a person has a cry from the heart, God hears. One of the things that David identified in these verses that I read, David said, I have sinned. And I sure do not want to imply today that when you're struggling with God hearing your prayer, your prayers, your cries, your pleas, I sure don't want to imply that you have sinned. But I sure don't want to imply either that you may not have sinned that has kept you from God hearing your cry. David said, mine iniquities. And see, if you go back and if you look at the prayer of Daniel, that's exactly what Daniel's prayer was. We have sinned. We have sinned. And I want to tell you, one of the things that God has just laid on my heart very clearly is, as believers, we need to get a hold of this Spirit of God that's upon us. We're sitting here and fumbling around in some way trying to live the Christian life when God has 600 people around us that will just do nothing but encourage us on and protect us. And the Spirit of God wants to come down and just be very close to you, be in you, give you direction, be there. But you know, oftentimes, all we see is a negative. That's what David saw. David wrote about it. That's all David saw. David had this whole catalog of things. And I want to encourage you, seriously encourage you today. What do you see when you're crying out to God? Do you see Christ as the rock, or do you see your struggles? Do you see Christ as the rock, or do you see people against you? Do you see Christ as the rock? Or do you see circumstances that are insurmountable? What do you see? And David says here that I waited patiently, and he inclined his ear unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up. Something that I notice that comes, that's an evidence of going to the next level. And when I talk about the next level, that's the part of the journey. Every one of us here today, I don't care who you are as an adult or as a young person, every one of us here today, God wants us to go to the next level, the next level in our Christian life. And every one of these has to do with understanding God and what God wants to do in our lives and how God wants to be intimate. And God wants to look at me. Did you notice here that I read about God's thoughts? In verse 5 it says, "And thy thoughts which are to usward." You know, God is thinking about you personally. God has thoughts about you personally. Now, are those thoughts going to be, "I have given this man, this woman, this young person everything that they need, but they don't even want it"? Is that what God's thoughts are? He was looking at David and he said, "David, I have given you so much, and yet you have this whole catalog of things and people that are against you." And I just want to, today, I want to encourage you. Learn what it is to be set on the rock. And the evidence of you being set on the rock is verse 3. "There is a new song that will come forth from you that you have never sung before." There'll be a new song coming out of your heart where you just cry and you bless God and you bless God and you bless God. You just sing a new song. I'm just thinking of Moses leading the children of Israel, and they come over to the Red Sea, and it looks insurmountable to the Israelites, and God miraculously parts that water. The Israelites walk through it, and the Egyptians follow after, and in the middle of the, when the Egyptians were in the middle of the sea, God brought the waters together and drowned every one of them. And there's a new song that Moses, that the Israelites sang. That's the result of what happens when we understand what it is to be set on the rock and our goings become established. Our goings become established. I'm just asking you, are you singing a new song today? Are you singing a new song today? Or has the light in your eyes gone out? Has the light in your eyes gone out? I'm personally asking you, has the light in your eyes gone out? Or do you have a new song? You know, when we come together and we have as a body new songs, that becomes a worship service. That becomes a worship service when we have a new song. I just want to bless each of you today. A new song. If you want to know the value of a song, there are times that people pray with individuals that have an evil spirit. There are times that people pray and pray and pray, and that evil spirit cannot be evicted. It seems like it. It seems like the evil spirit cannot be evicted. I can tell you of account after account where a group of people simply gathered on the side and start singing songs. Take, for instance, "There is Power in the Blood." You start singing some of those songs, and you know what? The enemy cannot handle songs that are sung in praise and adoration of the Heavenly Father. There have been evil spirits come, difficult situations. Evil spirits have come out of people simply because people were singing. It's the power of song. And that's what happens when we see that all of our struggles are as secondary, and primarily we are set on the rock of Jesus Christ, and Christ has put a new song in our hearts that we just love to sing. And if you look at what happens here, if you read on, it says that the righteous will hear and be affected by the songs we sing. The righteous will be blessed. The world will hear the message. You know, all of us have been concerned about the election. Are we concerned about our pocketbook? Or are we concerned, what are we concerned about? It's pretty easy to want Trump because the economy, they're telling us, is going to continue as it has been. Business is going to be good in the next 4 years. And so we want Trump as our president. That seems like a very foolish reason to vote for Trump in perspective with the kingdom of Christ. Yes, we want to appreciate our freedom. We want to make use of it. I'm just going to close here today. I just want to tell you that it is very, very valuable when we share together about our crying. It's very, very valuable when we share together about our crying. It gets the attention away from us, and together we can focus our attention on Christ, the rock, and it will help us to be established.